Hi, and welcome to episode 93 of Fresh Out of Tokens. This is a kind of a special episode. One, because of my awesome returning guest, and two, because I get to talk about just a BioWare game for once and not everything else. The awesome Eric, mostly known to everyone as BioFanOfficial on Twitter and BioFan, has come back so we can have a more in-depth conversation about the romances and lack thereof in one of our favorite studios games, which is Mass Effect Andromeda. So welcome back, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Tuesday. It is wonderful and delightful to be back. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's always fun to chat with another BioWare fan, especially when we can get into kind of the more nitty-gritty stuff versus the very superficial conversations we sometimes get into in public spaces. So for those listening, whether it's your first time hearing the show or 93rd, this is Fresh Out Tokens Podcast. And, you know, it came out of iNeedverse Games, which is a very long story, which I will get into at some other point. But, you know, if you ever want to support the show, we do have teas, mugs, other items in the iNeedverse Games Spreadshirt shop. There's a blog to compliment the show. And if you want to drop a note, be it guest feedback, want to be a guest eventually, or episode feedback, send a note to freshoutoftokens@gmail.com. Our site is outoftokenscast.com, or outoftokenscast is also on Tumblr. And keep up with guest announcements and show news over at Out of Tokens Cast on Twitter. And with that, you visited the show before, but for those people that may be new to listening to it or new to your work, BioFan, what is it that you do and kind of like how are you known in the sphere?
I think the technical term is like industry influencer. The more like colloquial term, I guess I would say, is I'm a YouTuber that focuses on BioWare content. So I do like development news coverage. I review content. I do videos and things like that. I do interviews with like voice actors and developers. So stuff like that.
Cool. And, you know, again, for those unfamiliar with you, a brief recap of what got you into gaming and maybe specifically why you fell so hard into BioWare fandom.
What got me into gaming in general, I think, was stories. But then again, my first video game ever was Elmo's ABCs, so I'm not really sure on the story quality on that one. But I would say that the stories kept me going. And what got me into BioWare games was actually the diversity of sexual orientations represented. Because when I was probably like in middle school, going into high school, there weren't a lot of games that had LGBT characters. Nowadays, there's a whole lot more. But BioWare was kind of on the cutting edge for that when I was younger. So I was like, there are gay people in this game? What? So then I picked up this little game called Dragon Age Origins, popped it into my Xbox 360, and it all just escalated from there.
Awesome. I think a lot of us had that same story, you know, kind of coming across either Dragon Age Origins or the first Mass Effect or Baldur's Gate or Jade Empire. Any of the games that had queer content were like, what?
We get to this exists? What? How have I not known about this?
Right? You're just like, huh. Well, let me investigate this further. You know, we're both big BioWare nerds. I have no shame in saying this for myself.
Oh no, we're both BioWare trash. It's all good. This is a friendly BioWare trash space.
Yes. But one of the main reasons I wanted to chat with you, especially because it's been hard to have a good conversation online in certain spaces about Mass Effect Andromeda, because you know, on Twitter you can't say anything without the rando core showing up. So I wanted to have more of a structured conversation about Mass Effect. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people have not been particularly pleased with it, or they found things not exactly either what they expected, what they wanted, a little bit of both. And one big point of contention is same gender romance. And I was wondering, you know, for someone who fell in with BioWare because of the same gender romance options, what was your initial take on them in Andromeda?
So my first playthrough, I was kind of like, this is great. I have like more than one option. And like I was digging Gil and then Reyes showed up and I was like, oh my God, this is complicated. And then I fell into this very messy love triangle and it just got more complicated. And I was like, okay, surely at some point someone's going to say something. I'm going to have to choose. Oh, this is so difficult. And then eventually I didn't really choose and it got weird. And I don't think the game registered that I was not supposed to not have a choice or something. But I ended up romancing both Reyes and Gil my first time around. The game kind of registers Gil as your default romance, but then Reyes still says some things. So it was an interesting experience. But I think, like, while I was in it, I was like, this is great. I love this. This is awesome. I've got more than one option. I like both of them. But then when it ended, I was kind of like, this is it? Is it over now? Already? And then, like, because as an influencer, I was given a review copy and I got to play the game a little bit before everyone else. And so when I was finished with it, I was like, okay, I enjoyed my experience. That was an enjoyable time that I had. And then, like, closer to release, it was found out that the male options, so Gil and Reyes, had less content than, say, some of the other romances. Especially like the male-female options. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know that going into it. So I went in with a pretty like blank slate and then played it and had a good time. But then I found out afterward that they had less content. I was like, wait, what? And so investigating it and playing the game a million more times, they do have less content than the other romances. Mm-hmm. I'd say what's there, I enjoy, but I do see a lot of inequality in like the full romances. I think flings are fun, the like few that are there, but they're not like full romances. So the full romance options have different levels of content put in to the characters in the romances. Like, mm-hmm. for example, there was a lot of drama surrounding PB and Korra because Korra gets this very detailed, very animated sex scene, and PB also gets a sex scene, more on that in a minute. But then you go to Gil and it fades to black, or Reyes technically fades to black and you can kind of infer that there was something sexual, but there's not, there's definitely inequality in what sex scenes are there and who has sex scenes. Not all the romances do. I can kind of understand animating like human-human sexual relations is probably easier than with aliens, mm-hmm. but even then with just the humanoid ones, so like Asari and human, there's definitely inequalities present there, which is kind of disappointing. And then with the PB sex scene, now I wouldn't really consider myself an expert on lesbian sex, but I have been told by my lesbian friends that most lesbians don't really have sex that way. So and it's the exact same scene as with male writer versus female writer. So I can kind of see how a lot of people were upset about that as well, in terms of just how that kind of goes down. So it's disappointing, I would say. But at the same time, I still enjoyed my experience. I'm still satisfied with my experience, but I am disappointed that the romances aren't quite equal in terms of content.
Yeah, because for me, it's not just that there's only two male options. It's that mm-hmm. they're not even part of the crew. We only have six crew
yeah,
members.
That's true.
Beside Ryder. Reyes and Ryder are going to mess me up this whole episode. but, you know, Gil is on the ship. You know, you see him on one mission kind of helping you prep. But for the most part, he's just always kind of floating around like the bay where the nomad is.
Yeah, like they're not like super involved in the story. Is what you mean.
Right. And Reyes, it's like you have to go out of your way to this sandy ass planet or wherever it is Reyes has you going. And you do get to adventure with him, kind of like how Cullen will go with you on the one mission in Inquisition. But again, they're not members of the crew that you go with everywhere.
They're not like squad mates that go with you everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's not mm-hmm. the chance for the banter or to really get to know them, quote unquote. And, you know, that leads into my next kind of thought slash question is that, you know, for someone who is playing a male writer and wants to romance another dude, there's Reyes and Gil. And mm-hmm. what I've noticed, because foolish me is still on Tumblr, There is so much thirst for Reyes. Like, I'm almost to the point where I want to Tumblr savior it because, okay, he's cool, but he's also like space human Zevran to me. And I'm like, he's cool, but oh my god, y'all are so thirsty for a dude that, you know, I think Reyes is romanceable by either writer, but still, I'm like, can we take the thirst level down a little bit? And then there's poor Gil, where it's just like, you get to play a shitty game of poker and then talk with about his horrible BFF Jill, which I want to know who BioWare decided Gil and Jill was cute. It's not. But it's like, you know, for you, what was kind of the difference between them and, you know, like, which one kind of caught your fancy, if either did? Because it sounded like you started with Gil and then was like, oh, wait, Reyes, though.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to unpack there. So going with like your most immediate question, I would say that, first of all, you're talking with the originator of the hashtag make Ray as a squadmate hashtag. So, and for those that don't know, hashtag make Ray as a squadmate is about like a future game or like some DLC that's story related, not like patching in a squadmate. That would take too much work. That's impossible to ask. But like for like next game, make him a squadmate because he's really interesting. But for me, so like I knew that Gil would be like the male option when I went in the first time. I didn't know about Reyes at all, actually. Like when I was first playing it, it was at like a preview event. So I was asking like developers around me, like, is Gil in this room while I'm still on the Hyperion? They're like, no, not yet. But I was really excited. But I think that after several playthroughs that I think Reyes is who I like better. Like if I had the choice, I would choose Reyes over Gil. The reason for that being is just because, I don't know, like I feel like Reyes was more humorous. He like there was more like of an emotional reaction in his storyline because he is a part of like a major plot point in the game. So I may actually say that it's my favorite plot in the game, and that it is one of the best plots in the game is that Kadara storyline with the charlatan and whatnot. I think that because he's more part of the game and that you have that like drama that goes along with him, but at the same time, he's an interesting person to get to know. And he's also very flirty and I like flirty characters. So I think that's why I have the Reyes thirst. I think that it is also, I can't speak for everyone that likes Reyes, but I think that is a common theme within the Reyes fandom. In terms of going back to what you said about the two male options not being on the squad, I don't think it's necessary to have a romance on the squad for it to be a great romance, but I do think that it helps. Because while the content for a squadmate, if you exclude the romance content, they still have a good amount of content. When you include that romance content with the squadmate content, it makes it seem like the relationship as a whole is bigger and has more content just because you're in a relationship with that person and you're having more interaction with them. While that interaction may not be romance content, you're still having that interaction with them, so it kind of builds the relationship as a whole. I'll take like Dragon Age Inquisition as an example throughout this podcast. But like, for example, in Inquisition, my favorite romance is Cullen. He's not on your squad. You have like a mission where he goes with you somewhere. But I still very much enjoyed that romance. And I felt like it was pretty equal to the other content because you still talk to them all the time. You still get to have as much romance content as the others. So I felt like it still worked fine, if that makes sense. So I don't think it's necessary for them to be on the squad. But I will agree that because Gil isn't really involved in the story, that he feels kind of separate. And then if you count the crew, like your non-squad, there's Lexi, who's not a romance option. There's Callo, who's not a romance option. And then you have Gil and Suvi, who kind of, just because they're there on the crew, and they're both the only gay romance option, they're both the like only gay romance options, they seem kind of, I don't think this was deliberate, but it makes it appear as if they're like the token gays, if that makes sense, you know, because they're the only like strictly homosexual romance options, and they're also both like strictly crew, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then in terms of Reyes, I think that he actually has like a very good amount of content. It's wrapped up in the story, though. It's not like separate romance conversations. And you can quickly blast, like the minute you land on Kadara, you can blast through all of Ray's content within like a few hours. So it feels faster, even though there's a pretty good chunk of content there, I think, mm-hmm. is why he feels smaller than he actually is. But I still think that he has, in terms of romance content, there's less there than other characters such as Korra or PB get, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense. Mm-hmm. I actually have been really bad about the romances. I think I kind of sort of locked in Suvi. Although I did this in the previous trilogy where I wasn't sure what I was doing with romances. And I have thoughts about Suvi as well because of conversations you can have with her. And we can get to Suvi in a minute, but I want to kind of focus on Jill for the next couple of minutes, Gil and Jill. Because I had such
I was entertained by that whole name similarity thing. I'm not going to say it was like the best thing ever, but I chuckled.
Yeah.
I mean, I chuckled. I was entertained. But then again, I don't think that a Gil and a Jill would be a common best friend pairing in real life.
True. Or they'd have some other pet name or something.
Something.
Well, you
but
know,
I chuckled. I was entertained. I'm not true. I'm not hating on it.
I'm not hanging on. It was just one of those really, really moments when I talked to Gil the first time. But my bigger peeve with Jill, other than the nomenclature, is her obsession with procreation. And for those listening, I talked about this a bit in the episode that will precede this one with Justin Saint, about part of it is my own personal baggage about, you know, people hammering you to have a kid and you're unfulfilled and blah, 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 and my own chose not to have children. So that was like a special kind of knife in my side with the whole, oh my God, babies, we must have baby. And then, you know, I'm almost done with the game and I go to talk to Gil and he's like, I'm going to be a daddy. And I'm like, what? And for me, a lot of it was the idea initially when he's talking about Jill and their conversations that even though it's presented as a ha ha friend in joke, it's, you're making my life harder because you're queer, therefore you can't have kids or won't have kids. Like, there are plenty of queer people who do have kids and want families.
Yeah.
And it just really rubbed me the wrong way as someone, you know, while I've chosen not to have kids, that is one of those things that is often rubbed in the face of queer folks of, you're not performing your societal expectation.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if that part of the Gil-Jill thing, if it bothered you, if it did not bother you, or was that kind of a, well, it's there in the game, what can I do about it?
For me, I'll just say, like, in drama in general, there's, I'd say, like, a very present encouragement to reproduce since you're going to a new cluster and you need to populate. But at the same time, I don't think it was, like, there are plenty of gay characters throughout the entire game, like, just random NPCs. Will be LGBT. And I was like, this is awesome. Just random all over the place. It was great. I think that when people like I've run into people that have been like, why are there gay people in this game? It's you can go to like a new galaxy and you need to like have babies and stuff. Why did you bring them? And I'm like, you can have babies if you're gay. It doesn't have to work that way. And also like, even if you don't want to have babies, like you can still be a very beneficial member of society. You can still contribute in a variety of ways. So I don't think it's required at all. And if you want to, you still can. Like reproduction is very much still a possibility. It's just not the, like I'm doing like the bunny ears quotation marks traditional way of reproduction necessarily, but you can still reproduce. Like there's no problem with that. For me, when I was in, I'll give you like my take and then kind of what I've heard a lot of people say for me, because I was like, I like Gil. He's cool. He's funny. He's kind of flirty. This is awesome. I'm liking this romance. Still don't know what's going to happen between him and Reyes. I'm probably going to have to pick at some point. I don't know. I never actually got the point where I'd have to pick. I choose Reyes. But with Gil, I was very happily surprised that that was even an option. Like I've never been able to be in a gay male relationship in a video game and have children or like plan to have children. Like, that's never been a thing that's happened to me in a video game. So I was like, wow, like, this is really progressive. I'm cool that they did this. Like, I was like, yeah, sure, let's have a kid. But then at the same time, there, you can't really, by the time that he's like, we're going to have a kid, you can't really opt out of the relationship. You can't, mm-hmm. like, basically, it, giving it a more, like, real-world scenario, imagine your significant other came up to you and was like, I am having a baby. Are you in or are you not? So it's, there's no, like, discussion about it with them. There's no, like, opt out. Like, this isn't something I want. I should probably leave this relationship so you can fulfill, like, what you need. But there's no opt out. You're locked into the relationship. It's at the very end. There's no, like, early first date conversation of, like, do you want kids? It's a necessity for me. There wasn't, like, that. So a lot of people felt that it was something they didn't really get to choose. Like, they were forced mm-hmm. to have the child or, mm-hmm. like, or be that, like, weird person that happens to be in a relationship with their dad. Like, you can just kind of be there, but not really, like, helping raise the kid. But at the same time, like, they, I feel like while I liked that choice, I felt like that choice needed some significant lead up and some opt out in order to be, like, really solid, if you know what I mean. I like that it's there, but I think it needed to be more optional than it was.
Yeah, and I wish that you could have had more option even as a friend, because my first playthrough is with a female writer, mm-hmm. and it's just kind of like you get the yay or the kind of, that's cool, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like with previous games, we had kind of the three options and then, you know, whatever dialogue happens, but you've at least got kind of a friendly and aggressive or slash snarky, and it's like, it was a very binary choice to me of mm-hmm. you're either supportive or you're not. And
there's no like you do you boo kind of choice.
Right. Kind of like cool. Don't expect me to come change diapers, but yay for you, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my next playthrough, I do plan to play a male writer. So I'll see how that differs. If you
I recommend going Gil Andreas. It was a very, very fun time for me. And like, I'll just slip in another tidbit here because it was fun. At the end, when, like, your romance, like, gives you, like, a hug or kiss or whatever after mm-hmm. you do the Meridian thing, it was hilarious. Because Gil's there being like, great job! And then Reyes is, like, right behind him. And then it pans a little bit. And there's, like, Evra, who's, like, the grumpiest grump to ever grump. And he's just staring at you and judging you. And I'm just, like, laughing so hard.
Oh my god, I hope you have video of that, because that would be hilarious.
That I can send you. It's hilarious.
Oh my god, that is too funny.
It was great. But what were you saying?
No, I was just, you know, it just, for me, I wish that there was kind of more dialogue options. And not just with romances, like with Ryder or conversations with Gil or things like that, but also Suvi, because Suvi's an interesting character because you get to actually discuss religion with her. Mm-hmm. You know, I was chatting with her about religion before I knew I could romance her as a female writer. She's like, oh, cool, my science officer, and we're chatting. And she brings up religion. And again, it's that kind of binary, you're like, hey, your faith is cool. I'm glad you can reconcile that with science. Or, wait, you believe in that religion shit. That's the way I took it.
Yeah.
So I guess this question and the one previous is kind of me wondering, do you wish there'd been more nuance in how you could interact with both your squad mates, but also the crew of the ship? Because it just seemed like there was just like this either or one or the other option versus a more nuanced conversation that I felt like we've had in other titles.
I felt like there was some nuance, but then in specific dialogue points, I also felt like it was a little bit binary. With Suvi, the first time, I felt like I kept messing up the conversation because what I picked wasn't what I actually felt. I was like trying to find the like, you do you boo kind of option. Mm-hmm. And it took me, I think, until like my second playthrough to figure out which of the options like was the most like neutral. Like the mm-hmm. first time I would go like hot or cold. And I was like, that's not what I wanted to say, but okay. So yeah. I do feel like there were some binary moments definitely in there. So I'll agree.
Yeah, because I mean, it's interesting with Suvi, and it'll be even more interesting to kind of see how a romance with her finishes up, because I hadn't planned on romancing her, but I had enough conversation and I guess chatted with her enough and went to see her work in the lab and was like, okay, I guess I'm romancing Suvi. So
there was a bit of drama regarding Suvi's romance, because in like an earlier version of the game guide, there was a picture of like her final romance scene with Mail Rider. So mm-hmm. a lot of people are like, oh, they just changed her to be lesbian. I don't know how the game guide people got that scene with Mail Rider. I think they somehow manipulated it with developer tools or something. But I know that she was originally planned, like the voice actor and her writer, Cheryl Chi, went on Twitter and said she was always supposed to be lesbian. I don't know anything else. She was always supposed to be a lesbian. There was no other dialogue ever written. It was always female, female. So just to clear that up for people that didn't know that.
Interesting, because like I said, I went into the game as totally unknowing as I could. I made a point of trying not to be spoiled. You know, like I was at PAX East and saw Liam's loyalty mission.
With what I have to do, spoilers are just kind of a job hazard.
Right. No, like in your case, totally. But you know, like for me, as I am still, you know, at least when it comes to some things, I'm still very much on the consumer side, and I wanted to go in as fresh as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always just been bad at romance in Mass Effect. I don't know what it is, but like Dragon Age, I've got it down pat. I know what romancing. Throw me in space. Apparently, I forget how to be suave. I don't know. but I had one more question before we moved on to questions from our listeners. And it was, you know, it's more of a kind of in the future, what would you like / what do you think BioWare should do or could do moving forward regarding to diversity of romance options and sexual orientation. And also I'll throw in there, you know, like what about an ace romance? What about a, you know, bisexual man of color as an option? Because so far we've had gay men of color, but no bisexual men of color.
Speaking of bisexual men of color, yes. Liam, I swear to God, he's bicurious. I swear. Like,
really?
Like, he's shirtless in front of me way too much to be like 100% heterosexual. I'm telling you. Like, no, I can't see it. I'm just okay. Messing. But yeah, I'm just like, he just, like, he's like half naked in front of me all the time. I can't deal, man. Like, he has to be like at least 1% bicurious. Just like a little bit. Just a little
maybe.
Bit.
Maybe. Although,
but
you
I
know.
Agree, there should be a, like 100% bisexual man of color romance option. I would love that. I love all forms of diversity in romances. I think, though, the most important thing is balance. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take Dragon Age Inquisition as an example that did this fairly well, in that if you were a female character that wanted to romance a female character, or if you were a male character that wanted to romance a female character, or a female character that wanted to romance a male character, or a male character that wanted to romance a male character, you had more than one option in all cases. And there wasn't some achievement that blocked you out of your sexual preferences. Versus in Andromeda, there was achievement that only the male-male romance options wouldn't allow you to fulfill. You had to romance three people, I think. But with Inquisition, there wasn't an achievement like that, and they were all pretty balanced in terms of the content that was there. Like, if you look at Cullen versus Iron Bull versus Dorian versus Sarah versus, like, Cassandra, they all had pretty relative content and pretty equal in what was there. There were some relationships where you didn't have sex scenes, but it was also somewhat appropriate for the characters. For example, Josephine was not the most, like, publicly sexual person. Versus, like, Sarah was super sexual. So it kind of varies up on what suits that character, I feel. And then there's, like, inferred relations as well. So it's not, like, forced on you. But if you, like, want a headcanon that it happened, there's, like, evidence to support it. So I feel like Inquisition probably did the best job in terms of, like, sexuality diversity. I would like to see some, like, new kind of, like, gender, race, sexuality combos that we haven't had before. Like, for example, we've not had a bisexual man of color as a romance option. So I'd like to see a little more diversity there. But bottom line, I'd like to just see balance. Like, at least have balance, you know?
Yeah, and I would like to see like some ace representation or someone, a character that's clearly like non-binary. But of course, that would probably mean a diversity consultant or someone to really fine-tooth that script.
Yes.
I would love, love, love for it to, you know, just to have more options besides straight, gay, and bi.
Yeah.
And I say this as someone who's bisexual. Well,
Iron Bull was pansexual.
True. I take that back. Thank you for the reminder.
You're welcome.
But, you know, it's hard because, you know, there's limits to what you can do in terms of code and everything else.
Yeah.
And, you know, one advantage to what I've been doing is, you know, kind of getting more of an idea of what it takes to make games, what it takes to, you know, fit everything within your allotted time, your budget, everything else.
It does make a huge strain as well. Like, just including a romance in general is so much, like, a lot of people that aren't very in tune with what goes into making games, they just play the game and go, why didn't you do this? Versus people that, like, are more knowledgeable of how development works and what all time and resources and what it takes to include content like that, they're like, I wish this would happen, but I can kind of see why it didn't because of how much that would have to go into it and how much time. That being said, Mass Effect Andromeda did have, like, 5 years of development, so I can't really give them too many excuses.
Right. So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
I think that they got a lot of feedback that will help with the future of the Mass Effect franchise. I do know that, for the not, like, super-duperty yet confirmed, but, like, everyone that, like, is with it is like, yeah, it's happening, Dragon Age 4. Patrick Weeks is the lead writer. He is very, very, very progressive when it comes to LGBT and the LGBT community. So I feel like Dragon Age 4 is going to do a good job. Just saying that now. Like, I'm putting my eggs in that basket. I think it's going to be pretty balanced in terms of sexual orientation.
Yeah, I think so. You know, for those people that are listening, I did have a chance to kind of sit down with Patrick and have a frank discussion about stuff in Inquisition that, you know, was an issue for me as a person of color, as a queer person of color. So, you know, I do have faith in you, Patrick. Hopefully you hear this and we can talk more. But yeah, it so far it's doing better. You know, my heart is going to always be more Dragon Age than Mass Effect. I just hope that whatever happens going forward with the series, that the things that fans were not happy with that are realistically a thing that can be addressed are addressed whenever the next game comes. And, you know, I know people feel a way about BioWare, and I know someone's going to be angry at me and tweet at me. I don't care. But, you know, there are some developers there that really do listen. They do take the time. And I want to also thank the Weekses again for GamerX 4, where they took their guest of honor slot and listened to fans for a whole hour.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, they didn't talk about how great it is to work at BioWare. They didn't do the typical guest of honor thing. They listened to us, and it was...
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it was just really, like, empowering.
We need more Weekses in this world, man. They're just awesome, wonderful people.
I mean, I would love to have them both on the podcast one day, if they could ever get away.
That's awesome.
Okay, so... We did get some awesome questions when we asked, considering the short notice I gave listeners, because I'm that awesome of a podcast host.
It's okay. We got great questions. It's more about quality than quantity, right?
Oh, I know. I was just like, oh, yeah, I should tell people you're going to be back on the show and ask for questions. But I wanted to start off with Little Miss Trancy on Twitter. And she asked, how do you think the romances in MEA compare to those of the trilogy in terms of emotional content, structure, and characterization?
So, remember what I said about quality versus quantity just like 5 seconds ago?
Yeah.
That. So, I feel like while all the squad mates and a lot of the characters in the romances have a very large amount of dialogue, what's there is almost, like, too casual. Like, I feel like they needed to have a little more drama going on or a little bit more emotional content. just because, like, it's all very casual. It's all very, like, low-key, calm kind of interactions with people, except for maybe PB. But I love PB. She's the best. But so I feel like on that front, while, like, they're cool characters, I feel like what we got of them was more kind of not necessarily what we needed from them. Like, we got to know them very well, but I feel like if we had interactions with them that were more emotional, like, say, the interactions we had with them on, like, their personal missions, there we got to see, like, a lot of those characters in a shorter period of time. So I feel like that kind of more intense conversation is what we needed from them. But in general, I liked most of all the companions and stuff, but I feel like there was a lot of just kind of casual conversation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And it's what I was kind of missing from some of the dialogue. I think I like driving the Nomad mostly because of the chatter you get.
Oh, yeah, the chatter's the best.
Yeah. So Justin Saint, awesome queer cosplayer that I've had the pleasure of meeting now at a couple of conventions, sent in the following question, and Justin is also known as Gamer Queen on Twitter. Mm-hmm. BioWare fans have been asking for polyromance options for a long time. What did you think about the options for polyamory in Mass Effect Andromeda?
Were there, like, true polyamory options? Because I don't think there were, like, true ones. I think there was ones where you could, like, be in a romance with one character and be in a romance with another, but I don't think there was, like, a polyamorous relationship. So I'm not sure if it was, like, proper poly content. I would say I'm kind of neutral about it, just because personally I'm more of, like, in the very end you choose one, but I don't mind it. Like, I would say if there is a good demand for it and they do it well, then I don't see why it shouldn't be in there. But okay. I would say I'm neutral about it. If they can put it in and it not take away from other romances, because there's a lot that would have to go in there in terms of content for it to be done well. So I think that if it's a case of polyamorous relationship and fewer romances versus more romances, I think that the game might benefit more from having more romance options. But I think that a polyamorous relationship option, because I have seen other people request it, I think that it would be very positive for those people. I'm not sure how it would be received unless it was done really well. So I'm kind of like, I don't know unless it's done well, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because, like, Fallout 4 does have some polyamory, but it's one of those things where I didn't cotton on to it and play in the game. I saw
someone else. It's like, if you're very attuned to it, you can see it, but it's not very obvious.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would love it because right now in my replay of Dragon Age Inquisition, I'm kind of accidentally, because of modding silliness, romancing Cullen and Dorian with a male Inquisitor, and it's because of mods.
I was going to say, like, how is that happening? I wanted to do that.
I think I know how it happened. So I made an Inquisitor that looks like Fenris because I'm that nerd and I miss Fenris.
You know, if we go to a certain Tevinteri region in the next game, I think that would be, like, the perfect opportunity for a certain broody elf character to, you know, make an appearance. Just saying.
Look, if if Fenris shows up in the next game, everyone will hear me scream because they don't understand how big of a Fenris nerd I am. I mean, I would be overjoyed to see him, but I would also be kind of concerned of, like, how is he being written, because David's no longer with BioWare. And, you know, I don't know. I would, like, freak out entirely because I figured, okay, DA2 is over. We got DAI. There's a 2-line mention when you talk to Varric to see where Hawk's companions went. But if we actually got to see an older Fenris in Tevinter, like, kind of fighting, I would be so overjoyed. And, like, my fangirl squee would be heard around the world.
I'll just say that when new writers take over characters that have been written by different writers, which happens, like, almost every game, a lot of them will study the previous content and talk with the person that wrote that character. So there's a lot of effort put in to make sure that the writer's staying true to who that character is. And especially when you have a talented writer, such as Patrick Weeks, Praise Patrick Weeks. Oh, holiness of feels. I think that if he were given Fenris, that he'd do a pretty darn good job with Fenris. I trust Patrick. He's awesome.
Yeah, but it's just like, again, I would like any kind of composure I have around the Weekses or around anyone would probably just be gone for that first 10 minutes if I got to see Fenris again, especially on a new console in like 4K, like, oh, it would just be over.
Okay, now you've got me excited.
Good. More, and you have way more pull than I do. So before we get carried away,
Fenris, and I was like, whoa.
Right. So before we get too carried away, and I like just float away into happy Fenris feels, which sounds really dirty, but I don't care. It's my show. We have a couple more questions from our friend of the show and occasional guest co-host Tempo Adante. And we talked about this a little bit, but his first question to you via Twitter was, is Reyes worth it? And with full disclosure, he said that his first rider did not take Reyes' side.
I am appalled. But in all seriousness, though, I mean, obviously I did my whole Reyes rant, hashtag make Reyes a squadmate. But I think, like, between Sloan and between Reyes, like, a lot of people support Sloan pretty heavily because she was pretty badass in Nexus Uprising. But people change. People become different people when certain things happen to those people. And sometimes they don't turn into better people. And I personally think that Sloan did not turn into a better person. I think that Reyes, like, is the... Between the two choices, the aftermath of those choices, I think Reyes is the better choice for Kadara, because he doesn't want there to... He wants there to be, like, peace between the Nexus and Kadara. He also runs things a lot better for his people. He cares about his people. Like, if you choose Reyes, there aren't people being beat up in the middle of the street anymore. If you choose Sloan, people are still getting their asses handed to them in the middle of the street. So that's just example A. So I think that Reyes is a better choice overall. You don't get to see much in terms of what that choice's impact is, other than who shows up in the end and the people getting beat up all over the place. Those are the only two things that change with those choices, really. And who's sitting on that fancy chair in Kadara. But but I think that given what those actions do, that Reyes is the better choice, just given that he actually cares about the people of Kadara, versus Sloan sees them more as, like, disposable.
True. And I know we also touched on this a bit, because you talked about Liam and his wanton shirtlessness.
He is bi-curious, I swear it.
But Tim's other question is, who is it that you wish was romanceable slash hope will be included in the patch to update romances?
So I'll just say first that I'm not a big fan of when you patch in a romance, I'm not a big fan of taking a character who already is a romance and changing their sexual orientation, because I think that is kind of like a Pandora's box in a way that for all future games, people be like, well, you changed this person's sexual orientation because people asked for it. So why can't you change like this person? So you run into a lot of dangerous territory of invalidating any sexual orientation choice, excluding bisexuals. So if you have like a homosexual character or a heterosexual character, then you kind of invalidate that character's sexuality if you patch in for them to be bi or change things up in any kind of way in regards to sexuality. So I think that is not a move that I would recommend. But taking a character who wasn't a romance option and then making them a romance option, I think that's a better course of action. If I got to choose who I would personally like to romance that isn't currently a romance option, I would hardcore go for Avidus, who is the Turian Pathfinder. I think that he has a little way to go before he should be a romance option. So I'm saying, like, next game, I'd like to see him as a romance option because he just lost his partner. So I think that he needs a little time to grieve before Ryder gets with him. So I think that I would choose Avidus in terms of who's, like, available. This is a good question.
Now you're like deep in thought.
Yeah, I do not know.
We can ponder that and maybe continue that conversation on Twitter after the episode comes out.
Sure. I will go with I do not know, but Avdus.
True. And you know, Tim did throw that out on Twitter. You could always drop a note in there. And then his last question was, romance aside, who is your favorite character in Andromeda?
Okay. That's a toughie.
Uh-oh.
Because a lot of my favorite characters are also ones that I enjoy to romance. I would say that, like, if you removed romance from the equation, absolutely, then I would say PB, maybe? Like, if you couldn't flirt with Reyes, then he's not quite as enjoyable, because you don't really get that full Reyes experience. But I think that you can still have the full PB experience if you aren't flirting with her or romancing her. So I'm gonna go with PB.
Cool. See, it's weird, because, like, for me, PB reminded me too much of Sarah, and I took kind of an immediate dislike to her.
A lot of people say that, but I don't see them that way. Like, I can see, like, they have some personality traits that they share in common, but I feel like their expression of those traits is totally different. Like, if you made, like, Sarah have, like, several degrees in science, then maybe she'd be more similar to PB. But I feel like they're very different people, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I also study
fiction very heavily, so I kind of look into very deep detail on character analysis. Mm-hmm. So I think that maybe that's why I'm like, oh no, they're totally different people. So I can see, like, from maybe, like, if you played the game once, if you played, like, Inquisition once and you played, like, Andromeda once, how maybe you could see that, but I personally see them as totally different people.
That's fair. And granted, I did actually do the romance once with Sarah. I don't despise her the way I used to, but she's still not a favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we'll see. I did get PB in the airlock, though.
There you go. Getting that airlock action. What's up?
Look, she said, let's go. I was like, hey, it's been a long time in space. So, you know what? I'm not going
to
turn that
down. I mean,
down.
How often do you get to have zero-G relations? Just Sam.
Look, I took my chance. And, you know, PB may grow on me. I don't know. I may play the game again and like her differently if I'm playing a male writer. Who knows? But like I said, that was my kind of immediate knee-jerk reaction, which I totally cop to. And speaking of Andromeda, as you know, we like to kind of end the show with what we're playing / reading, discussing that a bit to round out the discussion. And since you are the esteemed guest, you get to go first.
Ooh, yay. So, of course, I'm playing Mass Effect Andromeda here and there. As they put out patches, I'm going back in, finding out what's new. I am currently replaying Dragon Age Origins, since it's now backwards compatible on Xbox One, and I'm just reliving, like, the wonderful, wonderful experiences that I had, like, with my first 20 playthroughs of it. Oh, man. Alistair still gets me, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna be Queen of Ferelden again. It's gonna be great. I just did the Landsmeet. It was rockin'. Great things happened. People died. It's all good. And I'm currently reading Nexus Uprising by Jason M. Huff and Casey Alexander, and it's very thick, but it is very, very well written. I'm enjoying it thoroughly. I'm saying that as a fiction major. I love it, and I'm slowly making progress on it, because I had finals a few weeks ago, so I didn't get to read too much of it, but I'm reading it, and I'm loving it.
Awesome. And if you get a chance, we'll throw a link to that in the show notes as well.
Awesome.
So sadly we're at the end of our time together, but I'm sure we will chat way more often as
well,
more
aren't
stuff
you
comes
gonna
out.
Say what you were playing reading?
Oh yeah, that. Oh, see, this is what happens when you're tired and you've been traveling literally for a month, you forget things. So I'm boring. I'm still playing Andromeda. I actually have not finished my first playthrough because the game came out, and then I traveled every week in April. So yeah,
what kind of story are you?
I'm almost done. I found the Meridian, and I've done.
Did you find Meridian, or like?
No, like the here you need to add upgrades to the ship to really find the for real Meridian.
Oh, okay, so like the not Meridian. Okay.
Right. So I'm close, I think, maybe. Every it time I stream name, it.
But, like, no one, like, it's, like, in Ket language, or, like, yeah, it's in Ket language, and, like, no one's, like, really memorized it, so I just call it, like, not Meridian.
Yeah, I just, like, you know, between travel and I came back after Australia and was just a useless lump for a week because of jet lag, so...
Well, I'll tell you that the ending is, like, one of the best parts of the game. So okay. You go enjoy well, yourself.
That is the plan for tomorrow before I leave for Madison. Ooh. So I'm doing that, and I actually picked up Injustice 2. I did like the first one. It's really rough. You know, like, I felt the tutorial was far too basic, probably because I've been playing fighting games for a good chunk of my life. Where it's like, press X to block or press back to block. I'm like, really? This is the tutorial? Can I skip this? Can I, like, go to the advanced shit now? Played through the story mode, and it actually was pretty robust. I got, like, 6-7 hours of content out of the story mode. You know, unlocked, what's his name? Brainiac as a playable character. There's more characters, and so now it's kind of sharpening my skills and playing that until Tekken 7 comes out.
What platforms is that on? Is it on Xbox, or is it just PC?
No, Injustice 2 is on just console for now, and okay. PC port to come.
Okay, so I can get it on Xbox, because I may look into it. I've heard good things.
Yes, I streamed it, if you want to check out the VOD of that. I enjoyed it. A couple of characters, you know, I was just like, what kind of bullshit is this? This is the most ridiculous fight I've seen in a while.
Do you need to have played Injustice 1 to get the full Injustice 2 experience? Or is
No, they kind of recap through the story mode.
Okay.
Because I picked up the first Injustice not knowing anything about kind of the comic or a lot of DC stuff. I've always been more of a Marvel person until lately because, you know, everyone's now a Nazi and I'm not cool with that. So I don't know the DC canon that well, other than like the bigger ones, like, you know, obviously Wonder Woman, The Flash, Superman, mm-hmm. Batman. So I knew those characters, Gorilla Grodd. But some of these other characters, I'm like, where the fuck did you come from? And it was just, or their origin was different because of this weird, dark AU timeline where Superman's now a despot. So, yeah, it's fun if you like fighting games. You do get about 6-7 hours of story mode. And, you know, who knows what's going to come. There'll probably be DLC, more fighters added. I did enjoy it. And, you know, considering I bought it relatively new, I'm still liking it.
Cool.
Yeah, so now we get to say where people can find you online, and if you want to talk about kind of what's your next video, or you're just taking a break now that school's over for the summer.
So I'm currently taking a little vacation, because that, like, last few months of Andromeda development was intense, so I needed a little bit of break, and also I had finals and stuff that, like, just ended, so I'm taking a little vacation, but school's starting back up for summer courses, so I'm going to start work back up. The next thing that I'll be working on is my review for Mass Effect Andromeda. It's going to be very hefty and full of wonderful, in-depth, spoiler-free discussion. On YouTube, you can find me at youtube.com/biofanofficial, or if you just want to type in biofan in the YouTube search thingamajig, I'll come up. On Twitter, I'm at biofanofficial. On Tumblr, I'm biofanblog.tumblr.com. And on Facebook, if you type in biofanofficial, I will also pop up.
Awesome. And you all know that you can find me at Cypher Tier pretty much everywhere. That's CypherOftyr. That is Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Xbox, PSN. But don't send me a random friend request. Tell me who you are first. And you also know me as I Need Diverse Games on Twitter's I Need DIVGMS. Otherwise, look up I Need Diverse Games or Cypher Tier and you will find me. And with that, we're done. Thank you again so much, BioFan Official. Always a pleasure to sit and chat with you, especially about all the BioWare goodness.
Always a pleasure to sit and talk with you about the BioWare goodness as well. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And we will talk to you all in a week. Bye.
Adios.
Okay, I stopped Audacity.
Okay.